Hi, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. You know, I don't really have anything to say. Just enjoy the music.
If you live the life you please, well, it's all right. Doing the best you can, well, it's all right. As long as you lend a hand. You can sit around and wait for the phone to ring. Waiting for someone to tell you everything. Sit around and wonder what tomorrow will bring. Maybe a diamond ring.
Well, it's all right, even if they say you're wrong. Well, it's all right. Sometimes you gotta be strong.
Good morning. It's Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Had to play that song. To me, that's a Saturday morning, sunny LA sort of song. I love the energy in it. I hope you did too. And it is all right. And sometimes you have to be strong, like the next hour, to get all this information I'm about to transmit. You also have to be true to yourself. You have to let yourself make mistakes, not to be concerned with the petty and the small-minded. Because those types are always going to be there. And in the end, they mean nothing. Sometimes they're even in your family, definitely in your workplace. Always at your doorstep just as things get a little better because they want you to do it your way, their way. And if you compromise too much, that's how you get sick. They take you away from you, and you must never allow that. And you may have to hold a little space for them. But when you feel in your soul that you've been true to yourself, let nothing stand in your way. Be assured of that in your life. Because if you make that mistake and you don't get that distinction, you forget that in your honesty, you're supported by angels. And that's the affirmation you're looking for. That sound from the universe that you're thinking right. As a doctor, 20 years, that's how you get sick. You don't trust your gut. Today's show, I want to set the record straight on weight loss. This is the summer. Summer's the time to drop weight if you're in a position to do so. And if you're not, relax. Get fat. And I mean it. Sometimes it's just too crazy. But if you're going to get fat, just do it with good food. Don't beat yourself up on the crap. Do it with good food. Because food's an emotional buffer, and sometimes you need it. Food blocks pain. Food is fun. Going to a restaurant is fun. Pork tastes good. That's why people eat a lot of bacon. So rule number one for weight loss is that you have to enjoy your health food. Health food should taste just as good as junk food. You just have to know which restaurant to eat in. Or you just have to know how to create raw, gourmet, organic food. Or at least healthy food that tastes great. One of the best services I've provided over 10 years now is when people come in to see me, I cover the food issue by sending a wonderful young woman named Carrie Kim to the house. And she spends 5 or 6 hours under my supervision in your kitchen, and she teaches you food. It's one of the hottest services there is. Everybody jumps on that because she only needs to come once. There's no lengthy, prolonged seminar type things. It's very, very affordable, and you will be given the basis through which you can turn then what? Health food into tasty stuff. So rule number two. Do not believe, and a lot of people make this mistake, that your choice is between health food that tastes lousy and junk food that tastes great. That's a roadblock, and it's not reality. Never should have been. There wouldn't be any obesity if we had tasty, healthy food. Here's a quick, easy recipe. I just got to sneak one in today. 8 to 16 ounces of raw wild halibut. No fishy smell. Shiny, not dull, no bones. Push your finger into it and make sure that the flesh of the fish, the halibut, is spongy. Your finger, when you push it in, should not damage the fish. Then take a very, very sharp knife, and cut the fish into small thin pieces. Take all those little pieces of fish and squeeze ripe lemons and limes until the halibut is completely submerged in the bowl. Then cut strings of red onion and very ripe, sweet red cherry tomatoes. Again, ripe and sweet. And cover the fish with the tomatoes and the onions. And then the topper. The crown on this is the balsamic vinegar. You have to get a good balsamic, though. A good Italian, rich, aged, 10 to 20 years balsamic. And you pour a tablespoon or two all over the onions and the tomatoes and into the lemon juice. All over the ceviche. Because you have just made raw ceviche in 10 to 15 minutes. That's amazing stuff. It digests. It's perfectly assimilable. You haven't destroyed any of the oils in the fish. You've got a fantastic, complete array. Again, you put the rice and beans together, you're not getting the protein. You take a complete protein from a piece of fish, and I assure you, your body will respond very differently. Not to mention all the vitamin C and potassium. And you have to load potassium in the summer. Lots of weakness. If you're slumping now with this kind of weather, it's because you're potassium deficient. Mark my words. So you've got all the vitamin C and potassium from the onions and tomatoes. So the ceviches, that's one thing we all have to come back to, making the ceviche. It's quick, it's easy, it's delicious, and it's got all the toppings. Here's another tidbit. Organic, raw, unprocessed chocolate is not bad for you. I bring this up because every week I deal, usually it's the female, and she's guilt-ridden because she cheated on the diet or something like this, all right? Chocolate is not bad. Forget this chocolate problem. Even if you just look at the calories on chocolate, it's a couple of hundred calories a bar. That's not going to kill you. That's not a bad dessert. Here's my advice. Add raw nuts to it. And then raw cream, and eat that for dessert. So what? That's almost a meal, and you can call it a dessert. And yet, you're going to have a zero to very low glycemic index there. And it will satisfy you because it'll hit the spot because of the fat in the nut, the fat in the cream, and the sweet zing of the chocolate. Not a lot of sugar in that. Concept is eat a very, very rich dessert. The better the fat, the richer the fat. And that's what creates satiety in the brain. Fats are the answer. So the nut has to be out of the shell and buttery in flavor. Now that place in Venice called Rossum. Google up Rossum or the Raw Garage in Venice. Get to know them. Once a week they bring raw cream in from the Amish of Pennsylvania. They import it each week in a 16-wheeler truck. You taste that cream, that's from another planet. The Amish still know how to farm. Raw, truly raw cream. And then the raw fat of the nut and the raw fat of the chocolate. Your body easily forgives a little sugar. You see, but if you do dessert this way, and all the desserts should come in this way, it's not going to spike your insulin, something we'll talk about later. You'll continue to nourish your glandular system. Adrenals, ovaries, testes, thyroid, hypothalamus, pituitary, and you will not lower your metabolism. When you start to get fat and protein deficient, your glands swell. They inflame because they're working too hard and you're not feeding them well enough. And that's what happens on those carb-based diets and those carb-based lifestyles. Once the glands inflame, your metabolism sinks and you got a big problem. As far as weight loss is concerned. Now here's a mistake a lot of people make, especially women. If you get on the dietary wagon and 2 to 3 months later you have not lost weight, it's a mistake to conclude that you have failed. Do not do that. I deal with this all the time. You have not failed to lose weight. You've just failed to accept the fact that you are not 20 years old anymore. And your metabolism is already slowed. It might take 4 to 6 months for you to speed that up again. It could take longer. Don't give it your 3-week best and then drop out because you haven't seen results. Now, the health industry is to blame here. Because the health industry wants you to believe that whether it's a capsule, a pharmaceutical, an herb, this, that, or the other thing, that it happens all right away. And when that's not your experience, and yeah, we've aged a little bit, it sends your best intentions right out the door. It's not that you haven't lost weight. It's that you think something's wrong with you. You're telling yourself all this negative chatter. Oh, it worked for them. It didn't work for me. You're not remembering you had the three kids and Bonnie down the street didn't. The truth is your body will accelerate its fat-burning metabolism over time. So you have to be patient. And that's what Americans don't like to be. So question then becomes, how do I, or you, the 40 to 60-year-old man or woman, create a strategy focused on speeding up the metabolism and enhancing the fat-burning potential? Now, if you guessed I was going to say biliary patency, flush the gallbladder correctly, then I applaud you. I just want to come from a lot of angles. The question is, how does a functional gallbladder, what does a functional gallbladder have to do with bursting the fat-burning metabolism? I mean, has any health authority, has any doctor ever said to you that to lose weight, Mrs. Smith, you need to flush your gallbladder? Well, allow me to be the first. Now, the logic behind this, and you want to catch this, all your poison, the poisons you make, but especially the poisons from the outside, styrene, the PCBs, all the different benzene-derived chemicals, are stored in your fatty tissue, especially if your gallbladder is plugged, which it is usually by the time you're 40 to 60. Amazing intelligence of the body. It takes the poisons, if it can't get them out through the gallbladder, then it sends them into your adipose tissue, your fatty tissue, the fat on your legs, your buttocks, and your belly. Safe place for it. So you got to think of most people, it's fat. So it's a different view on fat. Modern day fat is a massive cauldron of toxic chemical that the body very intelligently drives to the fatty tissue rather than sending it to the fat in the organs, the spinal cord, which is fat, the brain, which is fat, and everywhere else on your body that has fat, other than the topical fat we're trying to burn. The body sends it to your belly fat, to your leg fat, because it doesn't want to send it to the fat in your brain where you'll really get damaged. Now, when you try to burn that topical fat, in other words, lose weight, and that fat is loaded with a high concentration of dangerous chemicals, your brain, watching all of this via the hypothalamus, will not let that happen unless those very same chemicals can enjoy a rapid excretion from your body, which those chemicals are not going to get if your gallbladder is plugged. So your brain will not let your body lose the fat because you would literally go comatose from the rapid release of chemicals. I've seen people go into near renal failure in fasts doing it incorrectly, not purging the chemical out of the body and pushing the body, abnormally so, into these fat-burning states, those starvation states. You burn out your kidneys that way. So if you're dragging at the weight loss game, it's imperative that you push relentlessly towards biliary patency. Again, if you're new to the show, welcome. You get on my website, straighttalk.cc, sign in, and here's show number one, the whole thing, 1 hour of flushing bile. Great conversation at parties. Now, here's another metabolic fastball for sluggish metabolisms that resist weight loss. I'm talking to you, whoever you are out there, who's going to come in sooner or later and tell me, no matter what I do, I don't lose weight. I've tried everything. I've spent thousands. If you could just get me to lose weight. If I could just get you to be patient, you'd lose it. But you're not, because you're comparing yourself to that idiotic stereotype that the media puts out. It all comes off in a month or two. It's garbage. Forget that. If you're metabolically balanced, if you're like you used to be when you were 20, if you're a healthy athlete, if you haven't really knocked around in the world, then perhaps even at 40 that happens to you, or 50. But if you're like many of us, it's a myth. Don't buy into that garbage. Here's the plan. For the first 3 to 4 months, just get off the carbs and sugars, except fruit and vegetables. Carbs, meaning no rice, sorry, wheat, flour, pasta, corn, beans, rye. I'm going to do a whole show on corn someday. It's going to be a boring show. It's going to be so technical, but I'm going to make you listen to it. I'm going to hit you with so much information on why corn's got to go, especially corn flour. You're going to hate it, but you're going to love it. Corn, beans, rye, soy. Get away from soy. Don't take my word for it. Take anybody's word for it. Spelt. And then, of course, the new age grains. Amaranth, quinoa, polenta, breads. Stick to nuts, seeds, berries, lamb, beef, chicken, duck, fish, eggs, raw milk, yogurts, kefirs, perhaps raw cream, perhaps raw butter, possibly potatoes, root vegetables, fruits and vegetables, avocados, coconuts. Eat lots of these foods. And when you're hungry, eat more of these foods. And if you're still hungry, eat more of these foods. And if you're still hungry, eat even more of these foods. Stuff your face with the good stuff. Forget the stupid diet concept. And if you're still hungry, go to the bakery late at night when no one's looking and buy a big, fat chocolate cake. And take the biggest bite out of that cake you could possibly stuff into your mouth and then throw that cake into the garbage. You want the thrill, the suspense. You even like the secrecy of sneaking out, and you'll feel great when you redeem yourself by throwing that piece of garbage cake into the garbage. If you have to cheat, cheat like that. Entertain yourself. Learn the tricks. Then you get back to the meat fat routine until your liver, now we're going to get scientific again, until your liver transitions to the point where you can convert the amino acids from the proteins and the fatty acids from the fats into glucose so you can stabilize your blood sugar. That's what the liver does. If it doesn't have carbs, if it's out of its glycogen, if it's out of its muscular glycogen, it's simply going to take the amino acids and the fatty acids and convert them to sugar. Until your liver, though, can sustain your blood sugar, you're going to get these carbs, sugar cravings. Until your liver can do this correctly, you're going to crave sugar. That's where you have to just relax. And your liver may need 3 to 4 months before it can produce the enzymes in enough abundance for you to feel fully energized without the carbs. So you're going to have a low fat-burning metabolism until that occurs. And that may take 3 to 4 months to occur. So some of us might need more, even 6 months, to shift to the low insulin, high fat-burning metabolism. Now, once your liver shifts, now here's the secret. Once the liver shifts and your body feels consistently energized, which means you can maintain your blood sugar easily on animal protein and fats, which means then that your adrenals, your thyroid, your liver have been recharged, and you have accelerated fat burning, you're starting to get to that fine point again, then you reduce your portions. That's the key. In the beginning, you don't think about reducing portion. You lose weight. You increase metabolism by simply changing your food selection. It's stupid to reduce portions too early. You'll go into such low blood sugar, such starvation mode, it'll work against you. And again, we can't get to this place as Americans because we can't stand waiting. It's all got to be now. We're developing a nation of obesity because no one has patience. That is the irony. Now, Atkins, Scarsdale, the zone diets. Believe me, these types of diets are excellent. High meat, low fat, very minimal carbs. They work wonderfully if your glandular balance is optimal, and that's not you. So if you've tried them and you haven't gotten results, I just explained why. I'm going to stay increasingly technical so we can really open up the knowledge base. If it's too much, too fast, go to straighttalk.cc, listen to the show over and over. That's what you're doing. We've had over 1,000 people hit the website over a month listening to shows. You've made me so happy. I say thank you from the bottom of my heart. I know this you can do. You are all intelligent. You are all professionals. You can all understand this, and you deserve it, and I am going to give it to you. Women, if you have had children and you've suffered cesareans or episiotomies, very often you're going to experience a substantial downward spiral in your fat-burning metabolism. There's a meridian or energy line. You know, in Thailand, I think it is, 95% of all births are done cesarean. Southeast Asia has gone cesarean berserk. And there's this meridian or energy line that runs along the front of your body, center line through the belly button, from the top right down to the bottom of your body, center line, along the linea alba. Ladies, that's what gets dark when you're pregnant. And then another meridian along the back, right down the center of your spine. So the one in the front is called the conception vessel, and the one in the back is called the governing vessel, and they have ancient names, and it's actually fascinating stuff. They are critical primary centers for glandular and therefore metabolic integrity. You have to have the free electromagnetic flow from the front to the back, to the front to the back, et cetera, et cetera. And you know where they intersect? These front and back meridians, they intersect right where you get your tear, ladies. They intersect right where you get your planned episiotomy, like it's absolutely meaningless to the future of your life. Ridiculous, ignorant. These areas represent one of the most powerful centers for glandular health. And when they're torn, you have adopted one of the most powerful deregulators for your body's metabolism. Moms, you know this. Mothers will always talk about the weight gain after one or two or three children and how they just don't seem to be able to get rid of it. We love the children. We love the kids. Enough with the kids at a certain point, right, ladies? It's time for you to get back to you. How much giving can you be expected to do? And so you start the workout again and it doesn't happen. Here's a quick solution. I want you to go to ellenheed.com, ellenheed.com, or Google up Ellen Heed postpartum rehab. Google it. So one's the website, ellenheed.com. The other, you get on Google, you just sign in Ellen Heed, one word, postpartum rehab, and read about Ellen. I've known Ellen for 12 years, one of my finest students in the last decade. And what she does, and consistently succeeds at bringing back the normal tone and resilience to the vaginal and perineal areas after episiotomies, and the same kind of success with the cesareans. So yeah, get those clay packs, the med body packs, on those interference fields first. But I guarantee you, some of you are going to need further work. Get on that website. Pregnancy, the birth process, the first 2 years postpartum, take vast amounts of hormonal, metabolic, current life force away from the woman. And of course, a healthy baby brings back a lot of that current. Love heals all, true. But the combined effect of feeding the baby in utero, the physical trauma of birth, as I just explained, and then the loss of sleep from 2 to 5 to 7 years and even beyond, leave a lot of women with a very slow metabolism. And then they want a quick pill to fix it, an herb to fix it. It doesn't work that way for some of us. We have to respect, deeply respect, motherhood and the birthing process. And then it's suddenly time to shape up, and we have all these fond memories of when the fat used to just fall off when dieting and exercising, but not anymore. That's a perspective. Sleep. Going to say two things on sleep, since the whole show last week was about sleep. Poor sleep will bring your metabolism to a standstill. So we don't make those connections. Your doctors don't make those connections. doctor, I can't lose weight. I've tried this, that, and the other thing. Nobody asks you if you're getting a good night's sleep. Sleep is everything for the glandular system. The glandular system is everything for your metabolism. And without a active metabolism, you are not going to lose weight, especially the adrenals. If the adrenals are fatigued, we all know that word. What you don't know, maybe, is then the blood sugar drops as it does when you diet. If the adrenals are fatigued, you can't hold your blood sugar. So the blood sugar drops in the normal, healthy physiology. When the blood sugar drops because you're dieting, or you're not dieting, you just cut out the carbs as I previously suggested. As that blood sugar drops, cortisol, the hormone produced by the adrenal cortex, cortisol runs over to the fatty tissue, the fat on your belly, the adipose tissue, and tells it to dissolve and release free-form fatty acids into the blood, which travel to your liver, and then Mr. Liver converts these fatty acids into glucose, and your blood sugar goes up and stabilized, and you don't have hunger. Now remember, Mr. Liver must be at the point where it has made the enzymes. It has built the enzyme factory within itself to convert these fatty acids into glucose. That process is called gluconeogenesis, the production or genesis of glucose from amino acids or fatty acids. And if it can't do that, okay, then again, you're going to feel tired when you give up carbs. And you may have to wait 4 to 6 months before you can live energized without carbs. I don't mean stand up and walk to the kitchen. I mean energized. Like, gee, I feel like working out today. So you got to be patient with weight loss. Say in a case of a mom who's birthed 2 or 3 kids over a decade. But that list is endless. The point is, if the adrenals are weak, cortisol production will be low. And when your blood sugar drops, which makes you hungry, there is no cortisol to run over and shake the fat out of the belly and let those free-form fatty acids drive over to the liver to be converted to sugar to stabilize your blood sugar. If you got that straight, if you understand it, I applaud you. Love it. If you can get that last paragraph, you understand so much about the game. If you don't, get on the website, listen to the show again. You got to get this. Now, to rebuild weak adrenals, little topical nutrition. You need sleep. You need meat. You need fat. You need the B vitamins. Try 2 teaspoons of Max B Stress, more than you usually take. Take it. Add a half teaspoon of B12 Nano. That new line, Dr. Marshall's B vitamins, this is another planet, man. He ought to get the Nobel just for the nanos. Get this stuff into your body if you're in that low metabolism ditch. Add a half teaspoon of B12 Nano, a half teaspoon of B6 Nano. 1 to 2 teaspoons of Max B Stress. Do it at those doses if your adrenals are dragging. Add 5 to 6 capsules of vitamin C complex. And then top it off with 6 to 12 to 18 adrenal complex per day. Play with that dose of adrenals. You'll be flying around the kitchen on top of air if you take that advice, no matter who you are. If you charge your body that way, you'll feel it, but you got to hit dose. So sometimes you got to get away from the 1 capsule of this and 1 capsule of that. People come in all the time. They're taking 1 to 2 capsules of 50 different things. That's what brings them in. And that's not a bad thing to do. Don't get me wrong. But sometimes if you have a focal issue, you got to drop all that, save the money on all of that, and spend it on focal remedy. Adrenals, that's a great way to do it. I want to talk a minute about adrenal complex. The main herb in adrenal complex is cordyceps. Now, cordyceps has been used by the Chinese for thousands of years as a longevity tonic. If it's toxic, it's useless. Ours isn't. That's what's so fantastic in the first place. But the Chinese would take 5 to 10 grams of raw cordyceps. stuff it into the stomach of a duck, and then low temperature cook the duck with the cordyceps stuck in the stomach of the duck for 5, 6, 7 hours. Then they would take wine, honey, and a variety of other things and ferment that brew into a longevity tonic. Somewhere in the 1960s, the entire world watched communist China enjoy outstanding, unprecedented success in the Olympic Games in track and field. And no one can understand why these little Chinese athletes, okay, were winning like that until they discovered that the Chinese athletes had been ingesting large doses of cordyceps before beating the pants off the competition. And to this day, I recommend my athletes do the same thing. You cordyceps load, like athletes carbo load. You carbo load an athlete, you cordyceps load an athlete, and that athlete is like rocket fuel on the day of competition. That's advanced stuff, but man, does it work. And the brilliance, the beauty of cordyceps is it's legal, and it doesn't squeeze the cortisol out of the adrenal cortex like speed would. It's not a stimulant like speed. It nourishes the adrenal cortex to continue to get the gland to function at its optimal level. It just feeds the gland with what it needs so you don't exhaust your adrenals. So everything is connected to everything. You're going to see this as a recurrent theme in the show. Most importantly, what weight loss or weight gain is connected to your emotional self. And we're going to talk about your emotional self in a moment. We're going to take a brief break. We'll come right back and we'll keep rocking.
That was a rock group from the 80s called the Fine Young Cannibals. They were not vegetarian.
Okay, we're back. Thank you. Emotions. This is a whole book. Not thoroughly in nutritional science, but I'm going to touch on it because a good doctor is going to read his patient. And if you come in and you haven't lost weight and it's been an issue, sometimes emotional stuff is all over your face. And you've got to have that connection. Doctor's got to see it, so we have to talk about it. Because gaining weight is a great way to block or depress your creative energy, your sexual charisma, your life force. Because if you didn't have the weight, you'd be unprotected. And your charisma might create jealousy. People might try to take you down a notch because you're getting too big for yourself without their ridicule. The men would give you too much inappropriate attention. And the weight gain shields you from the constant harassment. Or you've been loved, and then you've been betrayed in love, and you don't want to love again. These are all valid, justifiable reasons to put on weight. And sometimes you have to understand your patient that way. So overeating and carrying an extra 20, 30, 50, 100 pounds introduces its own kind of pain, so you don't have to feel the other kind of pain, the deeper pain. It's trading out one pain for the other. And it works, except in the long run, it costs more than it's worth. So the weight starts coming off just fine in the beginning, and as the weight continues to come off, you find yourself getting more and more nervous because you have this irrational feeling that someone or something, some occurrence, something you have no control over is going to take something away from you, is going to get in your way, is going to hurt you. And that creates anxiety. And food masks that anxiety. Carbs in particular act as drugs, and the drugs mask your pain. All you've got to have is communication with somebody. Hopefully your health care provider, so they can be there for you, one or a dozen. Even if it's an intervention. so that when you start getting that kind of tension in your body and you can't put your finger on it, you're getting snappy, irritable, your emotions are coming up. You're almost afraid if you keep losing weight, you're going to explode emotionally, be out of control, do irrational things. That's the emotional eater. And lots of us eat for those reasons. Many people like that are charismatics. Orson Welles and Marlon Brando come to mind. Johnny Depp does not come to mind. These are these big, fat guys, talented, powerful. They wanted to leave their mark, and they end up 300, 400 pounds. That's what I mean, that type. You may be that type. If you eat too much because you see too much or feel too much, and therefore you have suffered too much, then you must consider. I ask you to consider this, that really the deck is stacked in your favor, that you're the charismatic, and that you've been given infinitely more power than your persecutors, and that you have been brought here with special gifts, and that you've been compelled to use them by the divine. Your fat masks your enormous spiritual force. I want to say that again. Your fat masks your enormous spiritual force. And I ask you to consider that God, in the words of Einstein, doesn't play dice with the universe. And if you trust that you have been given blessing, then your persecutors mean nothing. If you trust in that, that is your long, dark journey, to trust that. And if you trust that, your success is certain. What you call your persecution is just your delusion. When you have that kind of power. Okay, weight loss in the thyroid. The thyroid, as the medical story goes, simply underproduces its fat-burning hormone, thyroxine, and you can't lose weight, right? People come in all the time. Can't lose weight, the thyroid's low. Even if it's not about weight loss and you've been told your thyroid's low, get this straight. Because you're given the synthetic thyroxine, Synthroid, levothyroxine. The real problem with thyroid drugs is that they interrupt the feedback loops between the thyroid, hypothalamus, and pituitary. Little review. So the hypothalamus and pituitary are the master glands, the crown chakras, up in the brain. And the thyroid is this spongy shaped gland like a butterfly, just below your Adam's apple at the base of your neck. When the hormone thyroxine, which is the fat-burning hormone that the thyroid gland produces, when its levels drop, the hypothalamus gland up in the brain sees that or knows it electrochemically. The hypothalamus gland has antennas that tell it that the thyroid has gotten sluggish. So it sends a chemical message to the little gland below called the pituitary. And the pituitary sends a message through thyroid-stimulating hormone, TSH. The pituitary sends TSH to the thyroid gland, and the thyroid gland increases its production of thyroxine. Now, we're leaving out a few steps that involve the liver, but that's the basic chain of command. So, to repeat that, thyroid levels drop, hypothalamus picks up on it, sends message to pituitary sends TSH to the thyroid, and so the thyroid increases the production of the fat-burning hormone, thyroxine. Now, when the levels run too high, we have to slow down the gland, so the reverse happens. The hypothalamus picks up now that the thyroxine's too high, tells the pituitary tells the thyroid to slow down, and less thyroxine, the fat-burning hormone, is produced. This is a balance. This is a system of glandular checks and balances mediated through the autonomic or electromagnetic nervous system. This is called the feedback loop. That was a botch, excuse me. This is called the feedback loop. Now, all the hormonal systems in your body, the adrenals, the ovarian system, the testicular system, they all function on the feedback loop concept. So, when you get a sluggish thyroid and you can't lose weight, and your doctor gives you the synthetic Synthroid or levothyroxine, the feedback loop gets interrupted. Meaning what? Meaning without the drug, your hypothalamus would have a chance to react and would relentlessly compel the thyroid to speed up production. That's what would happen if you didn't have the drug and the thyroid gets sluggish. But with the drug in your system, the hypothalamus is tricked. It's deceived into thinking everything is fine, and the hypothalamus goes to sleep. It stops trying to stimulate the sluggish thyroid gland. And long term, what do you think the long term result is? Over time, right, you end up getting on more and more thyroxine. Now, if you guessed that, then you're following. Okay? If not, hit the website. Okay. So what do you do for a sluggish thyroid? Not take the drug. You're going to interrupt the feedback loop, and every single year you're going to be on more and more thyroxine. And this is what happens. Don't do that drug. That is not a good drug. There are many better ways to fix a thyroid problem, a low thyroid problem. I could do half a show on that. Let me give you one central concept, maybe two. The thyroid gland demands an enormous amount of blood. It's so metabolically active that it needs much blood to perform correctly. Now, when your blood gets too thick, when your blood gets too concentrated, this is a concept in Eastern medicine. When your blood gets too concentrated with metabolites, again, all the stuff in the blood has to be continually filtered. When that isn't working well enough, it circulates through the thyroid with less efficiency. We say the thyroid suffers from decreased perfusion of blood, and so it gets sluggish. The thyroid needs massive amounts of clean, filtered, rapidly moving blood so it can do its job. And when you don't get it through, the thyroid starts to go kerplunk. Now, nobody's telling you this. These answers are so available. This is medicine derived from hard physiology and clinical experience. And it's just a translation of what's out there in Eastern medicine. If you have a good acupuncturist, if you have a good Vedic physician, this is what they're going to do. Now, we've brought some of these solutions to you with the healing clays, the med body packs. Think of that clay on the thyroid. Think of it packed onto your hands and into the thyroid gland. And what's happening? Number one, you're bringing the Schumann wave to the gland. You're bringing the Earth's natural resonance to the gland. If your thyroid needs a kick in the rear, that's the way to do it. Not with a drug to put it to sleep. Think about that. On top of which, what does the gland do? What does the clay do? The clay will begin to extract poison. The kind of heavy metals that we speculate slows down the gland. In addition to what? The clay, most importantly, is going to increase perfusion, blood flow to the area. That's the genius of it. You see? Now you don't have to take something internally. You can apply something topically. If you can apply something directly, topically, you score. This is the problem we have with the uterus and ovaries. This is the problem we don't have with the testes. Sometimes you know what to do, but you can't get it to the area. The thyroid is a gift. It's a gift because it's a millimeter or two below the skin. Anybody can press into their thyroid. You can't do that to your adrenals. The adrenals are hidden. Very tough to do that to the ovary. It's tough to get to the uterus. But the thyroid, it's right sitting there on the surface. So blood stasis slows up the thyroid. And I'll tell you, what organ controls the quality or thickness of the blood in the body? You've got it, the liver. So look at that. The liver is connected to the thyroid. That's Eastern medicine, but you know what? The liver is also connected to the thyroid in Western medicine. So really, my claim to you is if you study the physiology at whatever level you study it, you're going to see so many hookups between East and West. And this is why you have to look at it as the future, because we will broaden our perspectives. We are turning into an electromagnetic world. Medicine will become electromagnetic over the next century. You just are ahead of the curve. So you have to thank yourself for that. So you take the clay, you put it on the thyroid area, you rub it in good, you put it on both of your hands, and you let it dry in the sun. Perfect day today. If you've got the property, or just go to the park, put your feet in the green, dark, fertile earth. Go into the shade. Or stay in the sun if it's the morning. And apply that to your hands and your thyroid. And for 10 minutes, let the sun bake the clay into your body. Then go into the shower and turn on and do this, the ice cold water, and let that rub and rinse the clay off. That's what you call perfusion. That's what you call stimulating lymph, and that will build and stimulate your thyroid to a whole other level. And while you're doing that, stretch the muscles of your neck. There is a muscle group deep in the neck called the scalenes. Scalene, anterior, middle, and posterior. Look them up on Google. Ask your sports trainer, your friend, your yoga friend, how to stretch those muscles. Someday, as this evolves, we'll get the whole stretching routine down for you guys on YouTube, and we'll take it to another level. I think stretching is absolutely critical for so many of you. For instance, when you age, don't you notice grandma's head has dipped about 3 to 4 inches forward, and her neck is collapsed? Look at your average person over the age of 70. Most of them have what we call anterior head carriage. We call that normal aging. We get that hump in the back called the Dowager's hump. And then in the front, we do what? The head comes down and collapses onto what? It collapses onto the thyroid. That's a structural problem. You're not going to perfuse anything into the throat when your basic chin is touching your neck. And so really then, there's a structural driver on a lot of these thyroid problems, and one step you can take now is to begin to learn to stretch the scalenes. Then you get massage. Do self-massage into the neck. And you're going to see all day long that neck will be singing. It'll be a little warmer. You'll feel like something's circulating through it. The quality and tone of your voice will change. That's healing the thyroid. Ladies, if you've had kids, a lot of times you've gone progesterone deficient. Progesterone is needed to build thyroxin. There is another central one for ladies in their 40s, 50s, especially if they've had a number of kids. Weight loss. Exercise. Exercise comes to mind. For some of us, more than others. Check out John D'Adamo's book. Well, he was really the brains behind it. Peter was his son. Peter wrote a great book called Eat Right for Your Blood Type. I am not telling you to eat right for your blood type, nor am I supporting the lectin theory necessarily. I am simply telling you that in the book, he did a great job of explaining some people do not function metabolically without hard, fast exercise. I'm like that. If I don't exercise, I gain weight. If I exercise, I can just about eat anything and I lose weight. I'm exercise driven. That's my constitution. That may be you or it may not be you. Some of you, lots of the A bloods, they simply have to change the diet and they drop the weight. It's constitutional. But for those of you who have to exercise, and for those of you who don't have to exercise, here's what you need to know about exercise. There is a difference between running into a gymnasium and pumping iron and making your muscles grow big and being satisfied that your chest measurements and your bicep measurements are bigger and that your tone is improving. There's a big difference between that and stretching and strengthening and stretching and strengthening, Pilates style. The stretching you do in Pilates or yoga, and then the strengthening that you do, if your yoga is correct, and definitely in Pilates, that changes your posture, that realigns your spinal segments, that makes you stand straighter by stretching and then toning. That's the kind of exercise that stimulates metabolism, specifically through the thyroid. That is asking the thyroid in a natural way. So you're out there in the sun, going through the pupil of your eye in indirect sunlight and stimulating the crown chakras, the hypothalamus, the pituitary. You're stretching and you're strengthening. You're stretching to the point where when you stretch, you feel your alignment change. Your Pilates instructor is marveling at the metamorphosis that you're becoming after you've had 2, 3, 4 children. That's how you stimulate the thyroid gland. That's how you stimulate all the glandular centers. Within Tai Chi, Qigong, yoga, Kung Fu, Pilates, even the Alexander technique, Feldenkrais, Rolfing, Aston patterning, Heller work, we have scientists, doctors, consortiums of them that have given their life to studying these things. Google these words up. Google them up. They're all there. And they will tell you the same thing. That if you want to affect your glandular system, now we're talking thyroid, we could be talking any gland. The form of exercise you take is critical. And this is where America, for the most part, has missed. To too many people, yoga is voodoo. It's not voodoo. If it's that type where you have to chant and stuff, forget it. Don't bother with it. Okay? Stick to the science of it. The science of it will deliver you to a better place. And I don't even have to use the word yoga. I don't even like to use that word. Just get flexible. Olympic athletes understand this. How would you expect the gymnasts to do what the gymnasts do? But you see, America identifies with football, baseball, basketball, boxing. None of these guys stretch. So in high school, you don't stretch. Yeah, I know you stretch. You think you stretch. You stretch 5 seconds before you run, and you stretch 5 seconds after you run, and you hate to stretch because what does that have to do with competition? And that's the mentality. And so we do that, and we ruin ourselves. You have to stretch to critical mass. You have to stretch to critical mass. You see? Critical mass, that's another issue. Critical mass means, and you hear me use this term, when whatever you do, whether it's gallbladder flushes or whether it's stretching, changes your physiology. You see? And there's a key law in medicine, in physical medicine, the medicine of structure, that structure determines function, that anatomy determines physiology. That all you guys out there with thyroid problems and the like have to look at the body not just biochemically, but structurally, and then emotionally. And then the art, of course, is to see who's who. You see, we're all made of emotion, we're all made of structural imbalance, and we're all made of chemistry. So when somebody comes in and they've got a thyroid issue, real, comprehensive, effective, rapid, relatively rapid work means you look at the body as an emotional body. You look at it as a structural body. You look at it as a biochemical body. And then you check to see those scars. Those scars that might be reflexing, you bet, to that thyroid. Now, that you already know. But we're putting it together now because this is the advanced class. Which, by the way, I have about 90 people for the school. Okay, I'm still calling people. Please be patient with me on all levels. We started this show. I got the call for this show really like March 15th. So I've worked nonstop day and night now for 3.5 months to get this thing fluid. And we did it. And I broadcast it from this gorgeous place up in Malibu rather than the filthy city and buses and the rest of it. So thank you for your patience. Okay. That's about all I'm going to say for weight loss today. Okay. Now, I could take a question. I think I have time for one. But if you've called in and I see we got about 7 people waiting, guys, I will hit the questions after the show. Email me about this little decision I've got. I really want to teach. And I don't know if I should do 50 minutes of lecture and then hit the questions for 1 or 2 and then hit them after when I can spend 10, 15 minutes per person, or if we should do some questions during the show. I'm sure you guys will let me know, get on Facebook, communicate one way or the other. Okay. All right, I'm going to take a question if we can. Little tech stuff, guys. Okay. Hi, this is Dr. Medici. Who's this?
I think it's me, Bruno.
Hey, Bruno, I actually know you, I think. Dr. Medici, how are you?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I've got a lot of static. I'm hearing a lot of static. It's Bruno.
I hear you. I think there's something wrong on your end, buddy.
I was hearing you on the radio pretty well, but now I'm getting a lot of static when you're speaking.
Well, then let's see if we can do this after the show. I can hear you perfectly. I'll call you back.
Okay.
All right, that was our wonderful question answer segment for the day. I think I'm going to go. Summed up, please be patient. I'll get everybody into the school as soon as possible. We're projected to start by the end of the month, sometime towards the end of July, on top of which, get to the website, straighttalk.cc. If this is the first time you've listened, definitely do that. And I'll see you next week. A pleasure. Hope you all learned, and we'll talk to you later. Ciao.
Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of KBRT, its ownership, its management, or its sponsors.